This message is brought to you by Cedar Springs Church. For more information, please visit cedarspringschurchnm.org.
Good morning. We're going to be in Jeremiah 18.
Going to be in Jeremiah 18
this morning. If you want to start
heading there in your Bibles,
most of you know that I spent
most of my adult life in construction.
Most of my adult life,
more specifically as a woodworker,
specifically as a cabinet maker,
a woodworker, and a cabinet maker.
I say that to say I have built a lot of things.
I say that to say I have built a lot of things throughout the
course. In fact, some of them are
still in use in our.
In fact, some of them are
today
still in use in our home.
But as I was reading Jeremiah,
as I was reading this week,
Jeremiah 18 this week, I realized
that there was one thing.
And
that there
all
was one thing,
my years of
in
making
all
stuff,
my years of making
that I can
stuff,
say without a doubt, I have
that I can say without a doubt,
I have never experienced.
You see, over the years, I have never
over the years, I have
never had anything I've made,
anything I've made
stand up and object,
stand up
to what I was making it into,
to what I was making it into.
Never had that happen.
Never
once
had that happen.
Has a piece of wood
never once
stood up in the shop
and said,
stood up in the shop
and said,
I want to be a chair.
I want to be a bookshelf.
I want to be a chair.
And I know that's probably the weirdest.
And I know
that's to a sermon you've ever
heard.
Intro to a sermon you've ever
heard. Have to do with anything?
What in the world does that have to do
with anything? As odd as that scenario sounds,
what our passage is talking about this morning.
Look at the first four verses of Jeremiah.
Look at the first four verses of Jeremiah chapter 18.
The word that came to Jeremiah from
the Lord,
and go down to the potter's house,
and go down
there
to
I will
the potter's
let you hear my words,
and there I will let you
hear
my
words.
Potter's house, and there he was.
So went down to the
potter's
wheel.
House, and there he was.
The vessel he was making of clay
was
the vessel he was making of
in
clay
the potter's hands.
Spoiled.
And he in the potter's hand
into another vessel,
and he as it seemed good
to another vessel,
to that potter to do good
to the potter to do.
So God opens up this passage by
directing Jeremiah to go to the potter's
Jeremiah
workshop,
to go to the potter's
because he wants
workshop,
Jeremiah to see
because he wants Jeremiah
a physical illustration,
a physical illustration
of what God is about to say to him.
Of what God is about to say to him.
He wants Jeremiah to go see.
He wants Jeremiah to go to
rebellious clay.
What happens to rebellious clay?
Because what God is going to tell Jeremiah,
what God is going
to tell Jeremiah
in the rest of our
passage, is what he does with his rebellious,
is what he does with his rebellious,
with his clay that refuses to be molded,
with his clay that refuses
to be molded
and worked into what he wants it to be.
Which begs the question, what on earth are we supposed to do?
Which begs the question, what on earth are we supposed to do with this passage?
Well, I think this passage wants us.
I think this passage wants
the same question
to ask.
The same
it wanted its first readers to ask.
It wanted its first readers to ask.
And that question is simply, what kind of clay are you?
Simply, what kind of clay are you?
What kind of clay are you?
That's the
what
question
kind of
I want to
clay
ask
are
you?
That's the question.
Are you a
useful,
are you a
valuable,
useful,
cooperative,
malleable,
lump, cooperative
clay, a lump that is
lump
is allowing
God
lump
that
form you into
is
what
is
allowing God to
be.
Form you into what he wants you to be.
Or are you a rebellious lump of
or are you a rebellious
demanding
lump
God
of
make
clay.
You into what
demanding
you
God
to.
Make you into what you want him to.
What kind of clay are you?
What kind of clay are you?
Because look at verses
5 through 10,
where God instructs Jeremiah to tell the people.
God instructs Jeremiah
he has the right.
God has the right.
He has the right
with his
clay. God has the right to do what he wants with his clay.
Look at verse 5.
Then the word of the Lord came to me.
Then the
O house of Israel,
can I not do with you?
O house of Israel, can I not do with you?
Declares the Lord.
Behold,
like the clay in the potter's hand,
so
are you in my hand.
If at any time I declare concerning a nation,
any time I declare concerning a nation or
break down, and
I will pluck up and break down,
and if that nation concerning which I have spoken,
if that nation concerning which I will relent from the disaster that
I will relent of the disaster that I intend.
If at any time I declare,
and if at any time
a kingdom I declare.
Build up and plant
kingdom,
and I will build up and plant it.
Not listen as evil in my sight.
I will relent,
listening to good
voice that I
will relent of
to
do to it
that I had intended to do to it.
So, at the beginning of verse 6,
if you look again,
beginning of
verse
6, God
makes
you look again
to what Jeremiah
saw in the potter's shop.
What Jeremiah
saw in the potter's shop.
I'm like that potter.
God is saying, When he says, just like the potter with his clay, I have the right to do what I want with you. I have the right to do what I want.
And then he describes what he means by that.
And then he describes what he means by if-then statements.
With two
if-then statements. Through 10.
In verses 7
in, in verse 7, if you look, first of all, he says,
if I determine to destroy a people,
but, verse 8, they repent and do what I want, then I won't destroy
verse 10, if I determine to build a people, but verse 10, they disobey, then I will destroy them.
Then I will destroy them.
Therefore, because Judah... fit in
therefore because
ladder,
Judah
instead of the former
to the lad says in verse 11
God says in verse 11
now therefore say to the men of Judah
and therefore say to the men of Judah
and the inhabitants
thus says the Lord behold
thus says the Lord
behold against you
I am shaping
and devising a plan against you
and devising
return
a plan
everyone from your his evil way
turn everyone
and
mend your ways
way and your deeds
and mend your ways and your deeds.
Now maybe you're thinking
I get what you're saying, Grant. I understand.
I get what you're saying, Grant.
Illustration and all, but this metaphor breaks down.
Because I'm not clay.
Like I get the illustration.
But I'm a man.
Something like that.
Right?
So this is different.
Recently, Ligonier Ministries published
their report that they do once a year, where they poll Americans to see where they stack up on certain statements of the Bible is inerrant, or was God incarnate, stuff like that.
One of their statements,
and that they
one of their statements,
most recent
that they presented for this,
was this:
gender identity is a matter of choice.
The response might surprise you.
You see, the response they received was this.
Forty-four percent of Americans who never go to church strongly agree that gender identity is a matter of choice.
And you say, yeah, but that's non-Christians.
Well, listen to this.
47% of evangelical Christians who go to church twice a month or more agreed that gender is a matter of choice.
In other words, almost half of what we would call
regularly attending Christians believe man has the right to tell God
he made them wrong. The problem with us being linked to the clay is not whether or not we're clay.
All the way back at the beginning of creation, don't forget.
The Bible says God made man out of dirt and breathed breath into his nostrils.
The difference here is not whether or not we're like the clay.
We're more like the clay than we could even imagine.
From dust you came, and to dust you will return.
The difference in this illustration here is actually between the potters.
The potter that Jeremiah saw was only talented enough to make cups and bowls and dishes.
But God, the potter, is talented enough to bring his creations to life, to give life to his vessels.
So the difference is not whether or not we're clay.
What kind of clay are you? What kind of clay are you?
Well, unfortunately,
what kind of clay
our passage tells us what kind of clay the people
of Judah tells us what kind of clay the people of Judah were. Look at verse 12.
But they, that's the people,
but they say this is in vain. They
you might say
this
like this
is
pointless.
You might say like this is
we will follow our own plans and we will follow our own according to the stubbornness of his evil heart.
So God says then in verse 13. Therefore thus says the Lord, ask among the nations, ask
who has
among
heard
the nations,
the like of this.
The Virgin Israel has done a very horrible thing. Does the snow of Lebanon leave the crags of Syria?
Do
the mountain waters run dry?
The cold flowing streams.
So what he's saying is that not only is this
horrible,
but
this is
horrible.
The snow never melts off the top of these mountains.
They don't go dry. You never hear
mountain streams. They don't go.
What is this horrible thing that the people have done that's completely unheard of?
He says in verse 15.
He says,
but my people have forgotten me.
Offerings to false gods.
They make offerings to false gods.
They made them stumble in their ways in the ancient
they
roads.
Made them stumble in their ways
into
in the
side
ancient roads,
not the highway.
Walk into side roads,
not the highway.
Pulled them away from
idols.
It made their land a horror.
It made their
land to be
hissed
at forever.
Everyone who passes by it is horrified.
Everyone who passes by it is horrified.
Therefore,
shakes his head.
God said,
therefore,
verse 17, like
God, east
said,
wind,
verse
7,
scatter them before the end.
I will scatter them
show them my back
and not my
show
face
them my back
in the day of their calamity.
So a nation of people who had literally seen their God,
incredible miracles.
I mean, this is a nation who, right around this time,
God himself, without any help from them, 185,000 Assyrians.
They just dropped dead.
Those people
are now telling God he isn't welcome in their life.
They're going to do what they want.
God said he's going to do exactly
people
what he said
like
he would
do.
Cast them out
like
of the
potter
land.
Cast out
like the potter cast
clay.
Out
the spoiled clay.
It's easy for us to look at this,
to look at these people
like Judah,
to look at these people
wonder
like Judah.
What were they thinking?
I mean, how could they look at what God had done in their lives
and then turn
in their lives
and look at a block of wood
and look at a
piece
of
stone or something
like
that?
For security and comfort
and provision.
Thank God, we're not
like that, right?
Haha, funny Grant.
I'm not gonna fall for that one.
Are you saying you're living in open rebellion?
With God.
We're so quick to say, oh, we're just like
quick to say,
when we flip that on its head and say, oh,
you're a rampant idolater.
Well, no. See, the truth of the matter is we say that because it's funny, and we know we're in church,
the
right answer
is funny, and we know we're in church,
kind of agree
that I'm not,
I'm kind of like them.
Let's figure it out for real.
Let's see if we really are like them or not.
What is your view of money?
Have you ever been anxious because you didn't have enough?
Have you ever been angry because someone took
have
some
you ever
of yours?
Been angry because someone took some
I
of
have.
Yours?
I have.
Have you ever worked on a Sunday instead of going
have you ever
to church?
Worked on a Sunday instead of
worshiping
going to
God?
And worshiping God.
I have.
Brothers and sisters, hear me when I say,
if like me, you answer
like
yes
me,
to any of those questions,
to any
that's
of those
idolatry.
Anxious that you don't have enough money
anxious
is because you're looking
have
to money for
money
security
is not
God.
You're looking to money for security.
Angry that someone took your money.
Angry that
is assuming that money is yours.
And not God's.
Working on a Sunday instead of worshiping.
Everyone's got to play catch up every now and then.
No. It's saying that God is the most important person in my life. Unless money becomes an issue,
then I need to take care of that.
So when we say, I'm not like them, I don't worship stone or animals or wood.
Answer this question.
What is money made out of?
Cotton, paper.
What is cotton and paper made out of?
Oh.
Plants and wood.
Brothers and sisters, the truth is we've just made our idols a little flatter than they did.
But it's still wood.
And it's not just about money.
God has clearly told us what he wants to shape.
He's made it very plain to us in his word.
His primary goal for your life and mine
is to mold us into a better image of Christ.
Yet the clay still stands up and says, no, I don't want to be a Christian student. I want to be a
Christian student. I want to be popular.
Or no, I don't want to be formed into a Christian man.
I want to be respected and successful and wealthy.
The clay says, no, I don't want my beauty to be
I want my beauty to be my perfect body or my perfect family
or that I can have a job and a family and be a mother and all that at the same time.
That's what I want, God.
Form me into that.
So I ask again, what kind of clay are you?
Are you a useful malleable
lump of clay that is allowing your maker to form you and mold you into what he wants you to be?
Or are you a rebellious lump of clay
that is demanding to be made
into what they want?
Now, I hope by this point
that I've at least caused some of you to wonder what kind of clay you are, or at least ask, how can I know?
What kind of clay I am?
Well, look how this lump of clay in our passage
about Jeremiah pointing out their rebellion.
In verse 18.
Then they said, come.
Let us make plots against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest,
nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet.
Come, let us strike him.
Let us not pay attention to any of his words.
What the people of Judah are saying in verse 18 is there will always be priests who know the law.
There will always be wise people,
just like there will always be another prophet who can give us.
Prophets are a dime a dozen.
In other words, when Jeremiah told the people of Judah that they were being
allowing God to
form
them into what
he wanted them to be,
their response was, go pound sand, Jeremiah.
So if you're wondering what kind of clay you are,
a helpful question to answer might be this.
How do you react?
Points out your weakness.
When someone else points out areas where you are,
How do you react
when someone points out
that you're being one way or another lump of clay?
And don't answer that question with how you think you
don't
would
answer
react
that question with how you think
you would react if somebody
did
that
this afternoon.
That's not the answer.
The answer to that question is how you have.
The answer to that question is how you have
reacted in the recent.
The last few
how
times
you have reacted, your friend,
the last few times
someone else
spouse,
or your pointed friend,
something,
or
someone else
you.
Pointed something out to you.
Were you receptive
and contrite?
Were you receptive,
and repentant,
and contrite?
Were you angry
or
and defensive?
Were you angry
and defensive?
Or another way to look at it would be: is there someone that
another way to look at it would be:
is there someone that pointed something out
to you in the past
who you now avoid,
like the people avoided Jeremiah, so
people
they didn't have to deal with
Jeremiah,
so they didn't have to deal with what he
what
said.
What kind of clay are you?
Because in our passage, it's kind of like,
usually the kids are okay.
As long as As long as one parent isn't on the same page, the other parents are like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Usually the other parents are like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. The kids are in for it. Look what Jeremiah the prophet said about Judah.
Look what Jeremiah the prophet said about Judah in verse 19.
Now God and Jeremiah are on the same page.
Hear me, O Lord, and listen to the voice of my adversaries. Should good be repaid with evil? For my life they have dug a pit.
Remember how I stood before you to speak good for them, to turn away your wrath from them, to give them over to the power of the sword.
Let their wives become childless and widowed by pestilence. May their men be struck down by the sword in battle.
May a cry be heard from their houses. Bring the plunderers suddenly upon them. They have dug a pit to make me and laid snares for my feet.
Know all their plotting to kill me, know all their plotting to kill iniquity.
Forgive not their sin from your sight, nor blot out their sin before you.
Let them be overthrown before you in the time of your anger.
In other words, this prophet Jeremiah says that he did everything he could to change these people's hearts.
He said everything God told him to say to them, all of the warnings, all of the promises, all of the consequences, and he did everything that God told him to do.
He had a physical illustration of the pain and suffering that was going to come upon Judah.
Jeremiah spent his life trying to convince the people of Judah to repent, and their response was, whatever, Jeremiah, let's try to kill him.
Jeremiah did everything God told him to do, yet he was not only powerless to change their mind, but even keep them from killing him. Early Christian history tells us that they did. They stoned him.
So Jeremiah said to God, go ahead, God, destroy him.
Now, I understand that by this point I might have caused you to be a little concerned.
Like some of you came here this morning so excited to have a great time, worship Jesus, and now you're like, well, I don't know what kind of clay I am.
You invited a friend. That was a huge mistake.
So what kind of clay are you?
Well, one commentator I read this week named J.A. Thompson offered his answer.
He said the quality of the clay determined what the potter could do. He could make something else from the same clay, but not the particular vessel.
The clay could thus frustrate the potter's original intention.
And Yahweh the potter was dealing with a clay that was resistant to his purpose. The quality of the piso in some way determined what God might do to them.
So which are you?
Did God intend for you to be a beautiful vase?
But you're so stubborn that now he's got to settle for like a butter dish or an ashtray.
Well, here's the thing about Mr. Thompson's analysis, keeping your radar up when you read people. The problem with his analysis is that he gives way too much credit to the clay.
Like maybe he forgot that God made the clay.
Because theologically speaking, he's actually saying that God can't make what he wants because he messed up the clay.
But I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, we know this isn't the case.
You see, this clay, the people Jeremiah is talking about, they were unusable.
Soiled.
They were flawed.
There were flaws.
That is the difficult truth of
that
today.
Is the
this
difficult truth
of today. This
mankind
is mankind. Unusable,
rebellious clay.
Unusable clay
that stands up in the workshop.
Clay that
stands up
creator,
in the workshop.
Make him into
man's
what he
creator,
wants to be made.
Make him into what
nothing
he wants
has changed
to be made
since
into.
The garden.
Nothing has changed since the garden.
Mankind is still bowing up
mankind
to their creator,
still
saying,
this
bowing
is what
I'm
their
creator,
saying, this
is what
this
you're
going to
make me into,
or
I'll find someone else to worship who will.
Or I'll find someone else to worship who will.
But the Bible tells us that Jeremiah's
the Bible
failure,
tells us that Jeremiah's
these
failure
actually had a
these
purpose.
People actually had a purpose.
That it wasn't just plan A and God had to
that
go to plan B.
It wasn't just plan A and God had
no.
to go to plan B.
The Bible tells us.
No.
That the prophet Jeremiah's inability
to
change Jeremiah's inability
to
change
these people
intended
to grow in us a desire,
grow in us
a
desire,
a deep yearning for a better prophet,
a deep yearning for a better prophet,
a prophet who could change God's people,
a prophet who could change,
a prophet who could
fix the clay,
a prophet who could fix the clay.
That's exactly what God did. You see, that's exactly what
God
sent
a different prophet.
God sent
a better
prophet.
A better
his
prophet.
Name was Jesus Christ.
And his name was Jesus Christ.
Where Jeremiah could only proclaim
Jeremiah
the Lord's
only
judgment
claim
on those who will
not
obey.
Judgment
Jesus
on those
Christ
not obey.
Is the
Jesus
one
who Christ
will judge
is
those who don't
the
obey.
One who will judge those who don't obey.
Where Jeremiah gave up his life in
Jeremiah gave up his life
in
Jesus
voluntarily
gave up his.
Jesus voluntarily
even though he could have called down
his,
legions of angels.
Even though he could have called down
to
legions
slaughter
of
whoever
angels,
even thought about touching.
To slaughter whoever even
Jesus
thought about
voluntarily
touching.
Offered himself.
Jesus voluntarily
as the perfect
offered himself
as the perfect
to pay the
sacrifice
for the debt.
To pay the rebellious clay
for the
racked
up against
the rebellious
their
clay
had racked up against their
where Jeremiah told God to go ahead.
Where Jeremiah
and judged
told
God to
go ahead
because of
and
how they had
the
treated
people.
Them.
He
because
literally
how they
said
had
in verse 22,
he literally
do
said
not
in verse 22,
blot out
do
their
not
iniquity.
Blot out their iniquity.
Where Jeremiah the prophet said that.
Where Jeremiah
Luke
the prophet tells us
that
Jesus
Luke
was
different.
Luke 23 tells us that Jesus was
Luke
different.
23 tells us that while Jesus
Luke
was
23
hanging
tells
on
us
the
that
cross
while Jesus
dying,
was
while
hanging
being
on the
ridiculed
dying,
by the very people,
he was being
he came to
say,
the very people,
he
while
came
he was
to
suffocating,
say,
naked.
While he was
in front of the very people,
naked.
He came to turn
in
back
to
God.
People, he
Jesus
turned back
the better
to God.
Prophet,
Jesus
cried out,
the better
Father,
prophet,
forgive them.
Cried out,
for they know not what they
give
them. For they know not what they do.
Brothers and sisters,
Jesus
Christ
brothers and sisters,
was a better
Jesus
prophet
Christ
than Jeremiah.
Was a better prophet than Jeremiah.
In fact, listen. Jesus was so much better
fact,
than Jeremiah.
Jesus was so
were
much
Jeremiah
better than Jeremiah.
Nothing.
They were
Jeremiah
with this
clay.
Nothing.
Jesus
with this
could.
Rebellious clay. Jesus could.
You see, brothers and sisters, here's the answer.
You see, brothers
what
and
kind
sisters,
of clay
here's
the answer
to what kind of clay you are.
God didn't figure out how to use
God
flawed
didn't
clay.
Figure out how to use flawed clay.
No, God didn't bend you to His will.
No.
God didn't
he bend
didn't
you to his
make
will.
Do with defective
he
clay.
Didn't make do with defective
he didn't even
clay.
Convince you to relent
he
in
didn't
your
even
rebellion.
Convince you to relent in your rebellion.
No, God just made new clay.
No,
God just made new clay.
He just changed the clay.
He just changed the clay.
In fact, in just a few chapters. In fact, in just a few chapters. God is going to promise Judah that that's exactly
God is
what's
going
to promise
happen.
Judah that that's exactly what's going
chapter
to
31 and in verse 33,
God will tell us
that he's going to give his people a new heart.
God will tell us that he's going to give his people a new heart.
He's
going to
remove their useless,
unworkable,
hard
hearts of stone,
workable
hearts
of stone,
malleable
hearts
of flesh.
Malleable hearts of flesh.
The Apostle Paul was very clear.
The Apostle Paul was very clear
in 2 Corinthians 17,
chapter 5.
That is exactly what happened
to
the better prophet.
Exactly what happened through the better
prophet
Jesus.
When Paul said,
"Therefore, if anyone is in Christ,
therefore if
anyone is in Christ,
he is old has passed
away.
Behold,
the old
has passed
away.
Behold,
in other words,
new has
there are only two types of clay.
There are only two types of clay.
Hard, unmalleable."
Rebellious
clay.
Clay
that will be thrown into the fire because
clay that will be thrown into the fire because it is
and soft,
usable clay.
And soft.
And God will work
and form. And
God will work
a better image of Christ
into a better image of Christ.
So the answer to the question of what
so
kind
of
clay you are,
of what
kind
of
clay you
are,
is who do you believe in? Brothers and sisters, do you believe
brothers
that you have been made new in Jesus Christ?
Been made new in Jesus Christ.
Somebody please say yes. Somebody please say yes. Are we going to have to start over? Are we going to have to start over? Because listen, if you do,
because
if
listen,
you do believe
you
that
do,
Jesus Christ has made you
believe
new,
that Jesus
then the
Christ
illustration
made
has
you
shifted.
New. Then the illustration has shifted.
Picture a potter working on it on a
picture
wheel.
A potter working
clay.
On it on,
you know,
on
occasionally
a wheel.
With
he
clay.
Wets his hands,
you know, occasionally
so that
he wets
that,
his
that
hands
the clay
so,
is,
so that
it's smooth,
that the clay is smooth. Well, brothers and sisters, like the barrel of a gun,
like the barrel of
signs
a gun,
each bullet
signs each
with unique
bullet.
Grooves
unique.
And striations.
Grooves and striations.
We are not smooth vessels.
We are not smooth vessels.
Our potter signs his work.
Our potter signs his work
with the unique grooves,
with the unique
and channels
grooves.
He leaves.
And channels he
we
leaves.
Spin through his nail scarred hands.
We spin through his nail scarred hands.
What about all those questions you asked earlier?
I still feel like you asked earlier.
Like I'm a rebellious lump
like
of clay sometimes.
Like I'm a rebellious lump of clay sometimes.
The truth of the matter is this.
The truth of
rest
the matter
assured
is this.
God doesn't work at all
rest
with hard,
God doesn't
unworkable
work at all
clay.
With hard,
like chaff from the wheat, that clay.
Like chaff that, from the wheat,
those
that
who refuse
clay.
To be, that,
to,
those who believe
in Jesus
to be, and to be
to
formed
in Jesus
him, they're discarded.
They will be thrown
him,
into the
discarded.
Fire.
Time is not wasted on them.
Time is not wasted on them.
But the clay that God has changed,
the clay
that God
has
made
changed,
soft
the clay
and workable,
that God has made
just
soft
like a human potter,
just like a human
sometimes
potter.
God has to knead.
Sometimes God has
and
to
press.
Knead. And to press.
Sometimes he needs to punch.
Sometimes he needs to punch.
And beat that clay.
And
make it warm and malleable. And
make
useful.
It warm and malleable.
And to remove the folds.
To remove
make
the
it
folds.
Soft.
But that's part of the process.
Make it soft.
That's part of the process.
In other words, if you believe in Jesus Christ,
in other
you
words,
need
if
worry
you believe in Jesus Christ,
about
you
what
need
kind
to
of
worry.
Clay you are.
About what kind of clay
you need only entrust your life.
You need only entrust your life
each day into
more
the strong
hands
of
the
potter who will
hands of the potter
who will make you into a perfect depiction of Jesus Christ.
A perfect depiction of Jesus Christ.
So let me close with a different question that would be good for us to answer
this morning.
That would be good for us to answer this morning. If you do believe in Jesus, if you believe that
you are a
new
creation
in Jesus Christ,
the
question is, are you okay being formed into the vessel?
Are you okay
being formed into the vessel
that he wants you to be?
Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 4,
Paul
described us as vessels that were being made.
Us as vessels that
and he called us jars of clay.
And he called us jars of clay.
He said we are fragile and breakable vessels
that
don't appear very strong. However, he said that fragility of those jars of clay has a purpose.
Of those jars of clay has a purpose.
He said it's intended to display an absolutely stunning treasure.
Absolutely stunning treasure.
It's a treasure that Jesus said is worth selling everything you own to acquire. Paul said that God is forming us into these seemingly fragile jars of clay in order to display the surpassing power of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
So are you okay with God making you,
so are you
into
okay
a fragile vessel of clay
so
he can display the eternal power and strength
and
might of Jesus Christ through you?
And might of Jesus Christ through you.
Are you okay with God forming you into
are
a vessel
okay with
that
God
is afflicted but not crushed,
that is afflicted
that is
but
perplexed,
not crushed,
but not driven to despair,
perplexed but not driven
that
to despair,
but not forsaken,
that
is persecuted
struck down
but not forsaken,
destroyed.
That is struck down but not
in
destroyed.
Order for God to display the surpassing
in order
power
for God
of
to
Jesus
display
Christ,
the surpassing power
okay being
of Jesus
that
Christ,
vessel?
Are you okay being that
a weak,
vessel,
broken vessel,
a weak broken vessel?
In order to display the power of Jesus
in
Christ,
in order to display
the
power
that,
of Jesus Christ
that made you into
power,
a new creation,
that,
that
made you
Jesus,
into a new creation,
to make you into
power
a better
Jesus,
image of Him,
to make you into a better image of Him,
the power
of him,
the power that is working
of him,
in you to
that
prepare
is working
you
in you to
glory
to
prepare you for
an
eternal
glory
that cannot compare to this light and momentary affliction.
Are you okay with God forming you into
are you
that
okay
kind
with
of
God
vessel,
forming you
Cedar
into
Springs
that
Church.
Kind of vessel, Cedar Springs Church?
Because Paul says that those jars of clay,
because
Paul
vessels,
says that those jars
have,
of clay
have
no need
vessels,
to lose heart,
have no need to lose heart.
He says that they are very bold.
He says that they are very bold.
Because while the outer is wasting away,
while the outer is
wasting
away
day by day, the inward is being renewed.
He said those jars of clay have all the courage.
He said those jars of clay have all the courage
they need
because with unveiled faces.
Beholding the glory of the Lord and the gospel
beholding
of
the glory
Christ,
of the Lord
those
and the gospel
vessels,
of Jesus
those
Christ,
jars of
those
clay
vessels,
are being transformed.
Those jars of clay
the
are being
same
transformed
image of Christ
into the same
degree
image
of
Christ
at
one degree of glory at a time.
So CSC, I ask you again, what kind of clay
CSC,
will you
I
be?
Ask you again, what kind of clay will you be?
Are you willing to be the kind of clay?
Are you willing to be the kind of clay
that says
that says,
riches I heed not,
riches
nor man's
I heed
empty
not.
Praise,
nor man's
thou
empty
mine
praise,
now and
thou
always.
Mine inheritance now and
thou
always.
And thou only the first,
thou and thou only the first
in high King of heaven, my treasure, thou
high King of heaven, my treasure, thou art.
If you are, then please stand with me and let's make that.
If you are, then please stand with me and